You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
Good morning and afternoon and evening to everybody all around the world. Man, you know when I first get up in the morning, I'm like, wow, what am I going to do today? What do I got going on? And I'm like, oh shit, I got a fucking guest today. And today I was super excited because this guest in particular, I always have a lot of fun when I have a cultivator or someone who's in the industry. But my buddy here, I've known for, my God, almost 15, close to, almost could be 20 years. The infamous, the famous, the ultimate respect I have for my boy Kyle Cushman and my boy Tilo Mayhem and Methods of Mayhem. What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What up? What?
What's the good word?
Good hey. Word is the herb, right?
And yes,
the herb
sir. Is good. Yes, sir.
Don't panic. It's organic.
The one nice thing is that we got the great sunny weather of California. But Kyle, you weren't originally from the West Coast, right? You're an East Coast man.
I am a New Yorker.
Shout out to Born all our bread.
He does have that. He has that real New York look. You know what I'm saying? He got that real, like, he knows where the deli is.
He knows where the deli is.
He knows where that damn deli is. You know what I'm saying?
This New Yorker can take you to lunch. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. I already know that.
And shout out to all my people in New York who get to enjoy the best pizza and bagels on the planet. For sure, that's the one thing. If you go to New York, you got to go and enjoy.
Oh man, I miss the pizza.
Yeah, that's some real out there.
Walking down the street with a slice in the hand, you know, and a soda down the street.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like that.
Man,
you know, there's nothing like that.
I mean, let me tell you, dude. Let me tell you, we were just talking about my iPhone 4 that I have here, and this iPhone 4 is quite strong. And let me tell you, I left. Quick little story. I left the airport. I was going to the airport, and I was right by LAX. Went into T-Mobile, got a brand new iPhone. This is my backup phone, right? So then, you always have to have a backup. I fly into New York, and so I'm going to stay at this house in New Jersey, and it's like an Airbnb with the company that I'm out there with, so I don't know anything, and I haven't been to New York in a long time, and I like to walk far. Andrew knows. Like, I rode my bike to here. Like, I'm a weirdo.
Tilo gets up every morning, literally, at the crack of dawn, listens to Tony Robbins, and then goes on this mad savage hike.
That's what
right?
I do. Yes, right.
Have you ever walked Manhattan Island on acid with a bunch of friends?
No. Tell me about that.
Oh my goodness. I had literally just moved from West New York, New Jersey. It's a little town across the river, across the Hudson. It's actually in New Jersey. It's called West New York, New Jersey. And my friends came to help me move to Brooklyn. And I was working at High Times at the time. And after we got done moving, I mentioned that I had some actual Owsley acid that was given to me.
Oh,
and they're
shit.
Like, they're like, break it out, man, break it. And we're exhausted. We've been sweating and moving and stuff all day. And they finally convinced me. And we ended up walking Manhattan Island until late hours of night, walked home across the Brooklyn Bridge. It was amazing.
Yeah, the one thing when I went to New York, which was pretty fat, they have this new thing called the High Line. Right? And it used to be a subway railing, you know, like how the subways above the streets in New York. Like, there's areas.
Dude, no, check this out.
Right, or the trains, whatever.
The elevated. Yeah.
Right. So it's an elevated thing. And what happened, it was an old rail line that they took isn't there anymore. And they made a fucking cool pathway.
Right.
And made
all right,
like,
now listen to me.
Look like,
you
a, got, like a park and
bro,
shit.
Bro, now you motherfuckers
and
are
it
going
goes,
to hear.
It goes right by people's apartments and
you
stuff.
You can go walk out. You see and it's the okay, fucking okay. The hotel room.
Now we're going to get to the story. Here what it is.
this
is the deal.
What's up?
So I leave T-Mobile. Drop my new phone I just got, right? But I have to get to the airport. There's no time. I'm already fucking around. Like, I'm about to miss my shit. And it's for Fashion Week. You know what I mean? And it's like, I didn't even know how hot it was in New York or anything. I dropped my phone, boom. It's destroyed. Will not work whatsoever. So then I'm like, damn. So thank God I got my backup phone. I'm at the airport. It says no service. So I'm just like, airport, whatever, get on the plane. I land. I have no clue where I'm going. All I have, and I have no, like, no address, no anything. It's like 9:30 at night, right? It's fucking 110 degrees with like 100% humidity. It's like the worst ever, right? So then I'm like, this is fucked up. But I'm like, you know me, I'm a beast. I'm like, I'm gonna figure out this transit shit. So I get to this. It's not like here where you just pay one fucking 75 and you get to go wherever. It's like, what section, what part, what color, Zex zones and all this shit. I was like so confused. It took me forever. So finally I get my ticket to get into New Jersey because I know it's New Jersey and I have like the address but not the exact apartment. So I'm like, man. So I get in there. Gary tried to go there. So I get going to there. I get up to the thing. They like close the door. And it's that fucking bus thing, right? The bus thing that goes around New Jersey. So I'm like, what? Like, you know, it doesn't happen down here. Everyone gets to get on because we got the train. So then I'm like, damn, this is whack. So I go back. I'm like, I'm going to walk because I can see it's only like 6 miles or whatever. Didn't know I couldn't walk. I was trying to walk over to fucking, I get walk all the way down to the water and realize I can't walk over the water. I'm pouring down sweat, by the way, dude.
Oh,
dragging
shit.
This fucking goddamn Louis Vuitton luggage down the street like an idiot. So then I turn back around and I'm so hot. So then I get back in and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to fucking take a cab. But it was, since it was Labor Day and it was fucking Fashion Week, the cab ride was like $100 and some to go to Jersey. And I can't look at 6 miles and say, I can't do it. You know what I mean? I just couldn't do it. So then I'm like, fuck, because my phone does not work. I have no phone. There's no pay phones. And it, so I could not fucking figure anything out. Then finally, so I go back. So I'm like, damn, I'm just going to take this fucking train, right? The next train. It's like at midnight. And it's like the last one that goes there. I get there and I have my backpack and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't know you have to show your ticket again to the bus dude. So I'm sitting there. I get on. I left my fucking backpack on the fucking thing, right?
Oh, shit.
With everything in it. My money, my ID, everything. My phone. I'm sick, right? So now we're going on that fucking track you're talking about above the end of the road.
Yeah.
I'm screaming. Now, finally, I figure it out. And this old man's cussing me out. I'm like, why is this dude cussing me out? I'm like, oh, shit, he means me. He's like, you fucking terrorist. You fucking terrorist. You fucking going bananas. Like, I didn't realize the New Yorkers are pissed at me, dude, for leaving the backpack. I'm like, I'm sick. I'm like, please.
Oh, they'll shut down that train line for 8 hours because of that bag.
Finally, everyone in the fucking bus was screaming. I'm like frantic right now. You know what I mean? So like, I'm always gonna get beat up and jumped.
Oh,
so I'm
shit!
Like, please let me off this fucking thing, please. And so they finally the dudes were like, let him off, damn it! And they fucking finally let me off. I am running back uphill on that thing where no one's supposed to run. It's not a pedestrian walkway. I am sprinting all the way back to the fucking place where you go out of that place to go get my backpack, right?
Oh, man.
And I'm running. I'm asking mechanics, like, running fast as I can. I'm pretty fast, but I'm like, you see my backpack? You see my backpack?
Did you get it?
I get back inside, and there's a couple gangster dudes in there. I'm like, did you guys see my backpack? And they're like, no, I didn't even see it. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I mean, I go outside, it's there. So then I finally had to go outside, dude, and I found some Nigerian dude to give me a ride for $50 over the fucking bridge.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's a wild New York story.
T-Low on public transportation.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, Kyle, what year did you start writing for High Times?
Oh, shit.
And you started going into New York to the High Times.
He's asking me to do math now.
Around what year?
You know what? I remember very, very, very clearly. It was actually 1999. I spent 99 to 04 doing the staff journalist thing.
And how was the mood back then in the 90s when you'd cruise into the High Times office? Like, was people puff and tough or this? You know, because things were different then, you know?
Well, you know, it was a little different for the Cushman than it was for everybody else, I must say. I had it pretty good, you know? I didn't have to be there at any special time. I was editorial staff, which basically meant, in these days, you know, it was like, back in the day when you were a car salesman, they gave you a car to drive. That's unheard of nowadays. You know,
in
the days when I was a journalist, if you were editorial staff, basically, you know, I could just call in and say, you know, I'm working from home today. It doesn't matter to them as long as you get the words in. And everybody else, you know, they've got a college degree and they studied to be a copy editor or a reader or a writer. And I had it pretty good. I could kind of come and go as I please. And the smoking.
But what was the atmosphere, though, more when you did roll in there? What was it like?
Was it shirt tuckery? Was it all shiny shoery?
No, right?
I don't think it was ever like that. I don't think it was ever like that. Was it ever very businessy?
No, hell no.
I don't think there was ever a dress code at High Times.
No, hell no.
I don't think even to this day there's a dress code.
No. You know, when I'll be really, really blunt here, honest. When I got hired at High Times, I was told, where else can you come and go as you please, smoke as much weed as you want, and get a guaranteed 10% raise every year? Now the 10% raise didn't come through all the time, but everything else was pretty much true except for like a month or so a year, somebody would complain in the building. Something would happen. Somebody would get a pregnant woman upstairs would get whiff of it through the air vent or something. Something one month a year.
We've had that over here.
The lawyer.
I'm gonna go close the doors right now.
we gotta close actually.
So the lawyer.
Oh, you mean like close? I got you.
The lawyers would come in and say,
gangster style, nobody's getting in this motherfucker.
The lawyers would come in and tell everybody to be really cool for a while, and you know, so smoking would be like reduced to like zero for a little while, and then it would go back to normal. But sure. I remember this one time. I want to tell an interior High Times story here.
I love it.
This is the benefit of working there. So back in the day, one time they made the whole staff sign a piece of paper saying that if you got caught smoking in the office, you'd be fired.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it was probably mostly about liability, you know, those things, how those things work, right?
Absolutely.
But me, I don't know how well you know me, Tilo, but I'm like, I don't give in to the rules and regs.
Conforming
to
the rules.
You assholes would ruin an apartment building, and I already know that.
So for like weeks, I kept stalling, and I was like, I'm not signing that. You told me when you hired me, where else can I smoke as much weed as I want? And I'm not signing it. And I remember, I'm not going to name any names, but the managing editor at the time, he said, Kyle, come on, you know, just sign it. It'll go in the drawer and it'll go back to normal after a little while. And I finally,
that
after
sounds like Steve.
Finally, after a little while, I gave in and I signed it. Kyle Cushman, thinking there really is no Kyle Cushman. That's just my pseudonym. So I just made them happy.
That's he put it funny. In,
and I went
that's
back.
That's fucking funny.
I went back to doing my thing, which was my desk was close enough to a window.
Awesome.
And so I would take a one hitter and I'd inhale the whole thing and I'd hold it in for 30 seconds. I'd step up from my desk. I'd walk over to the window and I'd blow it out the window.
Yeah, right.
Trouble was that one time, Norman Mailer's son, John Mailer, was our managing editor for a short time. And he was actually entertaining HBO in his office trying to get them to advertise in the magazine, like big advertiser.
Sure.
And he had his window open as well in his office.
Oh, no.
And so,
oh, man.
So, you know, we're under this lockdown of nobody allowed to smoke. And all of a sudden he comes out of his office screaming and yelling, everybody meet back in the boardroom right now. Everybody back there now. We all go back there and he's like, you know, I don't like being like this. This is not me. But I'm in my office with HBO trying to get the biggest advertising contract ever, and all of a sudden a waft of marijuana smoke comes right in my window. Now I'm not gonna ask who it was, I just wanted to stop. And of course everybody on staff knew who it was because I was the only one who dared to do that, but
oh my God,
they didn't
I
rat
love
me
it.
Out and you know, it was a fun time, what can I say?
Hey Tilo, what do you wanna throw on? What are we gonna jam to?
Oh, we just play. You know, we always got to give that love, man. We got to give that. It's early in the morning. Let's play that Rex, R-E-X-X. Life, where I belong.
Life, Raj, yeah, for
where
sure.
Where I belong. That's man. This is.
Let me see.
I'm always trying to play some type of music that makes you want to get something done and be good to somebody, good to the earth, be good to yourself.
Absolutely. Well, so over all those years when you were writing, you were pretty much writing about different genetics or this. Like, let's talk about what, you know.
Oh, hold on, wait a minute. He told me something off air of that was off the chain.
Tell me.
He told me some great little stories.
Go ahead.
Tell him about when you got that package sent to the office. Because he's on some 007 shit. See, Kyle's not normal.
I love it. So, I love it.
No, I'm not
remember,
normal.
Back in the days, what he did back in the days is this shit was so fucking illegal to places that he knew. Like, if the DEA could go inside of his brain, they would have had so many fucking dude. They would have been so happy.
I can't tell you how many times I'd be driving around and I'd do that extra turns around the corners and make sure nobody's following me and stuff.
What a pimp.
Because I people are trusting me to be discreet and come
and
out to their places.
You told me you do it really crispy. Tell me how did that one dude do it?
So you know, look, I wasn't a real writer. I wasn't a, I didn't have a journalist degree or anything, you know. I had an imagination.
And love for the bud.
And love for the bud. And so, you know, it was a little tough when I ran out of doing stories on my close friends and stuff like that to
so
find places
to go. So that's the first
thing.
The first round is hit up all the friends
right,
and homies.
Right, you know. Hooked and they
up,
know. They
those motherfuckers up.
They trust me. They know, you know, the Detroit Dangsters, the Denver Dangsters, you know.
Shout
I just
out.
Made them up, you know.
Yeah.
And these boys are all, you know, 45, 50 years old right now with six kids, and hopefully they're still out there growing. But it was fun. And then I kind of started doing a lot of product reviews. So I reached out to manufacturers. But but in order to get Grows.
And that's a fun job. You know, like you're going for product reviews and you're High Times and you're calling Canada's people saying, hey, we're High Times Magazine. You want us to review
especially
something?
No.
It's not that hard to get some good shit, isn't
no,
it?
No. So I'm going to, you're going to remind me of this story. So one time I call up John Evans, who invented the Bounty brewing system. I'm flipping through this magazine. There's pictures
Bounty,
of him.
Bounty? What is this?
It's a microbial brew. You know, you brew it in a bucket and you aerate it, and it makes a bounty of microbials.
For your, to use as
and
nutrients.
It's real old. So I'm looking at products review, right? I'm looking through a magazine. This guy is there with, it says 7 Guinness Book of World Records for largest vegetables. And he's pictured there with like a leek that's 4 feet tall and a squash that's 3 feet tall and like a 12 inches around. And so I called him up. You know, I'm like, you know, this could work in our industry, you know, compost teas. That's what I do. I'm all about organics. And I remember this guy, at the time he was 60 something, white haired guy. And he's like, what magazine? I'm like, High Times. You know, like when you hold up a Playboy magazine in the centerfold, there's a pretty girl. Well, when you hold up the centerfold of a High Times magazine, there's a marijuana flower in it. Oh, I think I know what. He didn't even know what magazine I was talking about.
Oh, my God.
I ended up writing a high tech column about it, and I think I probably tripled his sales overnight.
That's great.
Yeah, now he's a staple in the industry.
Did you do a lot of on location?
Well, he was saying the way you got that one, how you got that package.
So first story, this was, I thought this was one of
these stoners, you know what I mean? Gotta keep you guys reined in.
I thought this was one of my most creative stories. So I wrote a story once that went like this, basically. So the receptionist rings me on my phone, says, hey, Kyle, come up to the desk. I got a package for you. And so I go pick up a package from FedEx or UPS or something, take it back to my desk, and I open it up, and there's a cell phone inside. Remember, this is all a story that I wrote.
Okay.
Okay? So I open up the package, and there's a phone inside, a cell phone. And it's one of those old flip phones. And I open it up, and I press power on, and power comes on, and I set it down on my desk. I'm not going to, you know, I embellished the story. I wrote this story. And so 15 minutes later goes by, and the phone rings, and I'm all intrigued and everything. And I'm, hello? Hello? Is this Kyle Cushman? Yeah? Hey, well, would you be interested in coming to look at my garden? And I, you know, and actually writing that story was from a real story. One time I'm sitting at my desk and a phone call got put through to me, and it was a guy on the phone who had the nerve to call the High Times offices on Park Avenue in New York City. And I believe he lived in Connecticut or Delaware or something. And he just really wanted some recognition. And I went out and saw his garden. And then I turned it into this, you know, James Bond 007. So I'm driving across the Verrazano Bridge and I get a phone call. Meet me off of exit something at the something diner. And then make a call to somewhere and I'll give you more directions. And
oh, my God.
It's fucking badass.
It was a spy novel.
I mean, you know how awesome the job is? I mean, come on.
Kyle got to see my garden back in the day in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's how I met you. You're out in Vegas. Was it in your garage or was it hidden or somewhere?
Yeah,
I don't remember exactly.
This whole, like, this thing set up in my garage, like a fucking secret area that this shelves opened up and you went into this fucking wild hydroponic garden
that's
I had
badass.
Back in the day. Yeah, it was pretty sick.
So how do you guys feel about this? I mean, what is the difference? So, you know, because the mood, or like the basically when you were doing that from 99 to 04, that's in the place where it was so illegal still. I mean, it was gnarly back then. So like now it's come so far. I mean, what's like the energy now? When you go to a grow now, is it a different energy? Not as like scary or not scary? I mean, because
you know
were a gangster at going there anyway back in the day. So.
You know what you just described, Tilo, was perspective. I've got this amazing perspective, and I'm thankful for it every day, and it helps me, you know, be able, not just be able to talk about it, but be able to advise people on not only today, but, you know, it's kind of like being a historian.
Right.
You know, a curator of the times, the way they used to be. You know, we were all criminals. And I moved to California in 04 for the specific reason to not be a criminal for the first time in my adult life. That was why I moved. Not to mention that Lake Mendocino was glistening in the sun. And as I drove to go do a story on Eddie Lepp up in Upper Lake California for growing 40,000 marijuana plants off the side of the highway, which he just got out of jail. Dude did 9 years in Fed Pen for.
He just got out?
He just got out.
I was with Eddie Jack Carrera.
So listen, Tilo used to be on the farm, bro.
Yeah, I know.
That's what's fucking crazy.
I left my job at High Times, okay, I'd been there for 5 years. You know what? I gave myself 5 years. You know, it's a funny thing in New York. You ask a lot of people that have been there for 20-something years, whether they're New Yorkers or not, how long you been living in New York City? And a lot of the answer you get is, I don't know, I'm stuck. It's not that you're stuck. It's a really cool city. But once you get your career going there, where else are you going to advance your career besides L.A.?
Sure.
So I gave myself 5 years because I didn't want to live in New York all my life. And I planned my escape a year before.
Wow.
I remember when he came out to Cali.
And I started throwing these ideas around for how I could continue to work for High Times and collect a paycheck from the road. And not a lot of them flew, but one finally did. And they let me keep working as a on the road. I kept my column, my monthly column up. And they kept a paycheck. And then I transitioned out to a legal life of legal cultivation. And I started my first company, Karma Consulting. And I started preaching compliance and building people's personal gardens and teaching them how to grow. And teaching at local dispensaries like Peace and Medicine in Sebastopol. And
shout out.
And
Sebastopol, I love that place.
Sebastopol. Oh, man. I could live in Sebastopol even if I had to be a goat.
You've been to Willie Bird's?
I've seen goats in Sebastopol that are happy.
Have you ever been to Willie Bird's Turkey?
Willie Bird's Turkey. My friend owns a dairy farm, goats. I wish I could give him the shout out. They're in all these, what's the name of his farm? I don't eat anything with goat in it. That's
I love a goat cheese, man. You got to hook me up.
Oh, man. Sebastopol goat farm.
I'm
the kind of dude, I'll just jump up.
Did he just say he's going to fuck a goat?
I'll fuck a goat.
Fuck, man.
I'll fuck a goat. But check this out.
What an animal.
He beat me out.
If I was, you know, like how the cows look up when you go up in Humboldt and stuff, they're all beautiful and hairy.
They're happy.
And gorgeous. I just want to jump off the highway. And mind you, my ex-wife is a holistic practitioner.
Oh, Jesus.
My daughters, I deliver my daughter at home. Like, they all, you know, the hippies and all that kind of shit. So then, every time I drive by those cows, I just want to get out of the car with my knife, dude, and go, you know. I always take my knife with me. I just want to go out there and just like slice the throat so quick.
Oh God!
I swear to God.
You remember those Happy Cow commercials that they used to do a couple of years back? I think they did them all over the country, right? It was basically about cows in California are so happy that it makes the cheese and the milk taste better.
Yeah, I remember that.
Dude, it not only was a good campaign, I know it was true because I'd be driving along the one. And to the left of me would be the ocean, and to the right of me would be pastures with cows. And I could just feel the vibes of these cows.
Yeah.
They're not those normal cows you see chewing their cud. They're all like,
well, those cows,
this is bad that milk, ass.
That milk doesn't make it down here, all right? We get that Norco cow. You see that when you go to Vegas, you smell like shit as soon as you hit the 15? That's a SoCal cow. You know what I'm saying? Our cow's a desert cow. It's
the
not,
feedlot cow.
Yeah, they're all skinny and shit, standing in their own piss and shit. Miles and miles. There's no glorious fucking fields of lushness.
It's just my nature to try to find the beauty in something. We all hate factory farming. We all know animals are being tortured. We all hate it. But that doesn't mean we can't eat meat, at least for me. You know, we got to fix this shit. Yeah. We got to talk about it.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all on the same page.
So let's just talk a little bit about one of the genetics that Kyle had gotten a hold of that I was very blessed in the early 2000s.
Strawberry
to get.
Kush.
Oh. Strawberry cough.
Strawberry cough.
Off,
sorry.
You're off.
But I was right there.
Strawberry cough.
It was a strawberry cough.
Which you still...
How can I remember that? I can't remember shit from yesterday.
You still...
Strawberry cough is like Kyle Cushman. Once you meet him, you ain't never going to forget his name.
Exactly. And the cough was unique back then because there really wasn't anything. That was when they started getting into the fruit flavored type shit.
Yeah, the grape ape.
No, you know, it wasn't even about the fruit. You know what it was about? It was when they started getting into growing sativas indoors. See, up to that point, all weed was a downer. All weed was couch locked. The good shit was eat a pizza, a bag of Fritos, watch a movie and go to sleep. That's what it was about.
I smoke way too many dabs. I wake up first thing
you
in the morning.
You dab head.
I think I need to figure out.
I'm
some
smoking
type of
a joint right now. By the way, here, Kyle, the lighter.
Kyle is a purist.
I'm sparking up a joint.
What's the best kind? What's the best sativa? That I want some weed that's going to make me feel like I did some cocaine. Does that shit exist?
There is nothing better than strawberry cough. You know the way I characterize strawberry cough. You know, excuse me. You know when you put a pair of binoculars up to your eyes and you get to roll that little wheel back and forth until the vision is just perfect for you? That's what strawberry cough does for me. It's like it just puts everything in the perfect perspective.
Of course I still have it.
As a matter of fact, what would I remember smoking it when he came out with the your veganic. Talk about the veganic.
This is pretty fucking. Hold on, dude. I'm pretty fucking excited.
I remember smoking.
Heart rates are going up.
So
heart rates are going up right now.
At the last cannabis, it was two cannabis. It was like last year at the cup. You had that huge booth set up, and that's when I got to smoke the cough again that you had, and I hadn't had it for a long, long time. Years.
You know what? That was a beautiful, beautiful harvest of strawberry cough.
Too.
I could show you the pictures of that. That was a nice shout out to K2 out there. I love you, my little brother. He was the head grower for a team for me for a while for that LA project. And we probably had a nice 15 pounds of that chunky, greasy strawberry cough. And there's nothing like it, man. It's like, I was just writing an email, answering email this morning, people asking about the strawberry cough. And my answer was, it's so special that even people that don't like hazes often like the strawberry cough. People go, no, I can't smoke anything with haze in it. It makes me paranoid, you know, or just it makes my heart race. But there's something about the strawberry cough and the cross with the strawberry fields and the haze. It just picked up the perfect profile.
Do you think it actually picked up traits because it was by strawberries or no?
Well, that's the urban legend. The urban legend is that the strain Strawberry Fields, which is indica, was grown for over a decade hidden in strawberry patches.
And that
over the time it acquired some of the terpenes.
Yeah.
Acquired some of the terpenes and became strawberry scent and strawberry flavored. And then they take that strawberry kush in essence and crossed it with a haze believed to be a Neville's haze. And that was strawberry cough. But the amazing, when I say crossed it with, what everybody needs to know was that the strawberry cough, shout out to Jeff Straub's Kavanaugh. He is the man who made this cross. And he wasn't a professional grower. He's not going to mind me saying.
Pretty wild. His name is Straub's, too. Well,
That's the nickname I gave him. And I hope he's out there listening. And basically, he just crossed the two strains that he had. And it was a first-time cross. It was an accident. There was no pheno hunt. There was no selection. It was literally what he crossed and what he got. And, you know, I had a good friend when I first started writing at High Times Magazine, and I quit growing. It was hard for me. I quit growing. I'd been growing for a solid 8-10 years. And I took this job as a journalist for High Times, and I decided, you know, I have to stop growing. I was taking too much of a chance as it was. I put that aside to become a writer, a journalist. And so I met somebody who would front me, you know, quantity, you know, little half pounds or pounds or whatever.
Sure.
And that's how I'd keep myself happy and flip them around and stuff. And this friend of a friend.
And get to smoke for free.
The friend, that's what I've been doing.
Got to pay for the nuggets.
Right.
So, make it a little easier on the pockets.
And so this friend of mine one day, when I go out to pick up, says, I got a really good friend. He's been reading about you in the magazine. Would you go over to his house? He'd love to show you his garden. And that's this guy who had the strawberry cough. And he literally had a piece of pot the size of my pinky nail when I got over there to show me. And now I'm already high, and, you know, I'm always high, basically. And he's like, I want to smoke this with you. So I smoked it with him, and he's like, well, how'd you like it? I'm like, oh, it was good, man. It was good. It was great. Come down. Let me show you my garden. And I walk down the stairs in his office kitchen down into his basement. And I've told this story a number of times, and I've talked to him since, so it's all cool. And I'm like, this was really a really low-key garden. I mean, a low-cost garden. I mean, there was, like, reflectors made out of aluminum foil, and it was a floodlight, and some of the plants are growing in, like, oil pan drip cans, and one's in a paint can.
It was like, awesome.
I mean, dude had it going whatever he could put together, right? And it was, I didn't even know what to say. You know me, I always want to help. I want to think of a couple of quick improvements I could give you, and I didn't even know what to say. So on my way up the stairs, he's like, hey, Kyle, would you like to take one of these? And I turn around, and it's like a little paper cup with a little tiny clone in it with like 2 inches of surface area on it. This tiny little two-bladed clone. I don't even know if it was rooted. And I literally just took it just to be polite. I'm like, oh, sure, man. Thank you. Thank you. And I put it in a paper bag and drove it home 3 hours back to New York, take it up to my apartment in Brooklyn. I literally put it on the table, and I'm going to take it out to throw it away, and I smell strawberries.
No way.
And I put the bag up to my nose, and I'm like, the bag smells like there was a pint of strawberries in there. And I'm thinking, did this guy dupe me? I'm like, no, I saw him take the bag out of it. I'm like, what the? I went and convinced my good friend, who was receiving all the good equipment, free equipment that I got, you know, from suppliers.
Sure. And you slipped in that and one. And I go like, over, let's
and I'm like,
this one.
And I'm like, yo, man, you need to grow this. It's called strawberry cough. He's like, what do you mean? I'm growing the cannabis cup winner from Amsterdam last year, the super silver haze.
Trust me.
You need to grow this. And within 3 years, it ended up being the fastest growing delivery service weed in New York City. And then when I moved out here to not be a criminal for the first time in my life, I drove with a trunk full of strawberry cough clones. And I gave them out in every city where there was somebody that I knew.
I received one of those.
So the reason why everybody thinks that Kyle Cushman made strawberry cough is because
you gave it out to everybody.
Is because there's 1,000 people over and over that repeated, they said, where did you get this?
I got it from Kyle Cushman.
And even
that's real.
It is real for sure.
So I'll take the credit for doing that. But the thing that really cemented it is some people are out there, but wait a second, it is in print. The first version of the Canna Bible, written by Jason King.
Shout out to Jason King. And Jason King did three of them,
Three of them, yes. The very first one.
Those that are laymen and listening from all over in their cars and don't know too much about weed, if you want to start learning about genetics, it was always a very main staple book that you could get to flip through and check out all the nugs from all over the world.
For sure.
That he put together
in the
Canna Bible.
You just put it on the toilet, man. You just leave it on the toilet.
It's one of those books that everybody that comes in your house is going to look at it.
Absolutely.
So, unbeknownst to me, I was actually at the Jack Herrera Awards, the first Jack Herrera Awards in Mendocino County in like 2005 or something like that. Oh, where was I going with this? I just had my first brain fart.
Jack, you had a thing with Jack.
No, I didn't have a thing with Jack.
No, you're bringing up a thing for Jack, though.
Strawberry cough.
At the Jack Herrera Awards.
Jason King met me there to interview me about the strain.
Nice.
And I brought him a bud that was so big that I couldn't fit it in a wide mouth 2-quart ball jar. I had to literally squeeze the cure dried nug to get it in. That's awesome. Dried, and it was like an ounce and a half nug. Dried, and
I want one of those.
And so we met. This is a sativa that grows like an indica. It really, really does. And so the story is that he interviewed me, and I told him this whole story of exactly where it came from. And I don't know if he was just so high, or I don't know if he just thought it would make a better read. But he wrote in the Canna Bible that Kyle Cushman created the strawberry cough.
Sure.
And So now, there boy, is the real
boy,
story.
Your boy catch wind over the years and be that, upset I'm about
glad,
it.
I'm glad you asked
let's
me that.
Let's talk about this.
So I didn't talk to my boy Jeff for almost 15 years until about 6 months ago, 6-7 months ago.
Wow.
The phone rings and it's and I answer my phone because I like being helpful for people. I give my number out and I do a lot of gardening consulting over the phone, and I answer hello. And he's like, hey, is this Kyle? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you probably don't remember me. This is Jeff. Remember me, Jeff from Connecticut? Oh my God, how come you haven't called me in so long? And the kind of the New Yorker hairs on the back of my neck stood up, I gotta admit, because when you don't hear from somebody for 15 years, somebody who gave you something, right? You know, I'm starting to think, you know, but I gotta tell you. So I talked to this cat and it was really nice. I'm like, why didn't you call me? He's like, oh, Stu, you know, I never wanted to bother you. I'm like, man, you should have, you know, checked me out. And he's like, I always knew if I gave you this cut that something good would happen. And I swear to you, my heart melted.
I love him.
My heart melted and like my shoulders literally just went down another half an inch. I was just like, dude, what a nice guy you are. Because you know how many people I've helped, you know how many people have come up to me and said, I don't have fibromyalgia for the first time in 10 years because I just smoked strawberry cough, or I don't have pain arthritis in my knee for the first time. I've had people tell me those things, and that's because of you. And good things did happen, and that's what this community is all the fuck about.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. Andrew knows how I get down.
Oh yeah,
like when I have absolutely clients, I have a client that's called Filter 420, and they make filters. So I'll give you some. They make filters to put on your pre-rolls. Like, so right now you can have a filter on it that pulls a lot of the tar out, and it's super cool. And so when I go do like different, like I'll go to a show for them or something like that, and I don't do things traditional, of course, nothing. But anytime I do anything, they have to give me $420, and I do like micro like acts of kindness. Like this one dude needed some shoes, bought him a couple pairs of shoes last time, and then this old man, he was like literally like crying because he couldn't get his car started, and his wife's in a nursing home and she's like on a routine. So I'm over there with my Maserati, dude, brand new Maserati, like when he has these like super ghetto little cables, and I'm sitting there just trying to get him started. Finally I was like, screw it, and just bought him a new battery. Things like that, you know what I mean? All these little things add up, and it's underneath $420. So it's like they can't afford my services when it comes to like my consultant services really be. But I love the product so much. So I'm like, hey, let's make something out to where like, hey, I'm gonna go do something and represent you, but I need to be able to do acts of kindness that makes me feel fulfilled along the way of it. So it's so now, you know, more and more companies I work with, that's kind of be the approach I'm going to be taking with it.
I'll
open that Rolodex when you fucking open up your pocketbook for motherfuckers too. You know what I mean?
I left home really young. I left home at 16. And when I left home, I thought I knew everything, but I didn't know shit.
16's young.
You know, I didn't know shit. And I wasn't even really a good person. I wasn't a person yet. I was still figuring out who the fuck I wanted to be. And you know what? It's like, being nice is kind of like, when I was young, I remember it was hard to save money, right? When you're young, once you figure out that saving money is like, it's a good thing. It's not, you know, it gets addicting actually. Once you learn how to save money because you're saving for your future, or you're saving for your kids, or you're just saving for your vacation or whatever it is, it gets easy once you figure it out. It's like being nice, see? When I first left home and I didn't have it figured out, one day you figure out that being nice is not only easy, it makes your life easier. It brings nice things around you. And you know, what do we need more of in this world than people being nice to each other? Is nothing else. I can't go any deeper than that.
Absolutely.
Than to say, just make somebody that you don't know smile today.
Yeah,
you know, that's a challenge.
And on that note, for sure, man, definitely made us real happy being on the show here with us.
Oh, you have to wrap it up, huh?
But you know, the thing is you got so much to talk about, and the time went by so quickly.
Get out of here.
I do got some chops.
We want to have you come back on. We want to have you talk a little bit more about your nutrient line and a bunch of other stuff.
Veganics.
So we're gonna have you come back next week, and we're gonna do another episode to talk a little bit more. But while we're on the last minute or so, you got any shout outs, websites, or anything for people to check out?
Oh, geez, you can go to KyleCushman.com, please, and
check out everything that you got.
Check
going
out
on.
Everything. I'm sorry. And
you got Instagram or Facebook or anything? Got Instagram for people to hit you up?
I'm working on a couple of projects that I they're right on the tip of my lips, but we haven't launched it yet. So
maybe
so
the next
tuned.
Time. Stay yeah, tuned. Go yeah, to KyleCushman.com yeah, yeah. and check out everything you got going
go,
on.
Go Instagram KyleCushman420. Check me out. Say hello. I don't really like Facebook much anymore. There's too many creepers on there. People impersonating me every week, having to shut them down. That happens on Instagram, too. Thanks to everybody out there who keeps me aware of all the frauds and the fakers.
Absolutely. And wow. Today, we don't got no faker. We got the original, whoop. OG, Kyle Cushman. Thank
deal.
You. Thank you,
thank
brother.
You for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And no matter where you are in your world, wherever you are, day, night, wherever it's going, whether you're home, whether you're chilling in your car, whether you're at work, just remember, if there's somebody bothering you, you're having a bad day, eventually at some point in time, you're going to get to take a break and smoke some weed. My name is Andrew Pizzicalis, CEO of Purple Haze Properties
yes,
and Purple
sir.
Haze Radio. And you guys have a lovely, blessed day. Peace.
What's the good word?
Peace, love, and rock and roll.
Hell yeah.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.